Hello everyone, my name is Sarah Harding, and today will be my first ever podcast that you are listening to that I will be speaking a little bit on the triple inequalities that African American Muslim women face just right away based on their appearance. Being African American, Muslim, and a woman, those are three different qualities of these type of sub-people that face multiple inequalities. Being a person in our world today, and in the United States in particular, I'm sure everyone is aware of the inequalities that African American people face today and throughout our history. That also goes for Muslim people. Muslims make up only 1.1% of the United States population, making them a minority group. As well, for women throughout history, there has been many inequalities that they have faced, not only throughout past history, but still takes place today. Why I decided to focus in particular on an appearance of someone is because that is how stereotypes are created. People stereotype African American Muslim women oftentimes just based on the way they look, present themselves, and their skin color. And I wanted to look deeper into why this is and specific examples of when this has been seen in making that clear to you guys. So today, after doing some research, I have found a couple articles and stories that I feel are important worth sharing in showing how these inequalities are created. The article Unveiling the Blackness of Hijab, author Vanessa Taylor explained how she interviewed a girl who said, "In school, my teacher made me remove my hijab. She told me I couldn't really be Muslim. I was black. It was the last time I tried to wear it." This was in front of 100 people, and she said, "Over 100 youths who moments before had been live with energy from the home stretch of a four-day workshop fell into silence. We were packed in a small overheated church on a hill, and the air around us was a heavily blanket. As the room processed what had been said, she went on, explained her mother was Muslim, and wore the face veil known as, niqab, N-I-Q-A-B. Islam and hijab have been a regular practice of her life, and until she switched homes and schools, I wanted to try wearing it again," she explained. "My teacher was white. She told me I was offending the real Muslim girls of my class." After reading just this first paragraph, I had to stop and take a second and think about that someone would actually say that. You know, it was clear they, in that paragraph, Taylor mentioned how everyone in the room turned silent. It was clear to every single person that it was not right of her to say, and it was completely racist and showed inequality and just no understandings of other people and how and what they believe and how they present themselves. Why should she feel that she had the right to say that? That's what was going through my head. And I don't think that's something I will ever understand. And I also will never understand what it's like for this girl who just got told this. But so this is why I thought it was so important to kind of dig a little deeper and learn more about this inequality facing girls of all ages that are African American and Muslim. For those who are unaware, the hijab that was talked about in the article is a piece of cloth or a scarf that Muslim women wear over their hair and head and chest, and is supposed to be worn in the presence of all males that are outside their immediate family. Women wear the hijab for all different reasons and have different forms of the hijab that they feel they would like to wear. Most people wear it because Islam holds the idea that women should not draw attention to themselves. As well as other religious reasons that I will talk about more later. The first thing that came to mind after hearing about this was, how does this stop? And I mean, I think that's the money question that everyone would like an answer to. But to start off, that this is happening in a school setting by a teacher. And students look up to their teachers and listen to what they have to say. So if a teacher is saying these inequalities, the other students are going to listen to what the teacher is saying and subconsciously agree with it. Even if they really don't, as a young child, in my personal opinion, they're going to think that that's normal and okay when it is obviously not. I think that it was also very obvious that the students listen to what their teachers have to say because this girl decided to never wear her hijab again. That just shows how traumatized that she was, that someone she probably, I mean, I wasn't there to know, but from what I'm thinking is that someone who looked up to their teacher just told them to take off something personal. They want to fit in as a student, so she listened and changed herself to make almost be normal. School should be a place where students get to be whoever they want to be because it is the future of the United States. The United States was created for opportunity, and how are these students and Muslim black women in particular going to be able to represent themselves and be proud of who they are when at a young age they're already getting discriminated against in school? Another part that I really wanted to point out that goes specifically to African American Muslim women was when she said, "My teacher was white. She told me I was offending the real Muslim girls in my class." So this teacher doesn't even really know what Muslim means. She thinks of Muslim and the idea of the hijab as something that represents people from the Middle East or that region, in that there's this specific skin color and type of person when it is in reality a religion. Yes, there is a group, large amount of Muslims who are from the Middle East area, but that is not all Muslims. So to stereotype the hijab as that is unfair to African American people. Later in the article, Taylor talks about how on February 25th in 2017, a student from George Bush High School in Richmond, Texas, put out a tweet about a policy in their school where Muslims had to receive permission from imams in order to wear a hijab. And an imam is a person who leads prayer in a mosque. And I, to be honest, I found this pretty crazy. The hijab for a Muslim woman is like wearing a t-shirt. It's just normal. It shouldn't be something that you'd have to get permission for. And a lot of people agreed with this, and the tweet quickly picked up by human rights advocates on Twitter. And it characterized the policy as Islamophobic. And Islamophobia is being prejudiced against Islam or Muslims, especially as a political force. After reading Taylor's article and thinking about the inequality that this African-American Muslim girl faced, and as well as the inequalities that all Muslims faced when wearing the hijab, I wanted to think about if anything in my life has been similar to these experiences. I thought about how in my middle school, high school, elementary school experience, we in upstate New York had to get it approved to wear anything on our heads. I want to say that I don't know exactly for sure, but I would hope that my school didn't make this have to be a thing for people who wore the hijab, like that they were clearly doing it for religious purposes. But even it reminded me, like, for a girl who had cancer, she had to get it accepted and have it okay to wear this head, when how someone dresses and represents themselves should not be something that they have to get accepted. A hat shouldn't make a difference, or any clothing should not have to be accepted in order to be allowed. So now, looking more at the hijab and what it means to Muslim women and why they wear it, I'm going to speak a little bit more on this and talk about the article that is called U.S. Muslim Women and Body Image, Links Among Objectification, Theory Constructs, and the Hijab. And so I am going to talk about a couple of the points that I thought were worth sharing from this article about the hijab. Lana D. Tolomat and Bonnie Mordati at Florida State University, who are the authors of this article, produced a study and asked many Islamic women what their reason was for why they are wearing the hijab. In the article, Lana D. Tolomat and Bonnie Mordati at Florida State University, who are the authors also of this article, produced a study asking Islamic women the three most common reasons for why they wear the hijab. And 90% of these women said that they wear it because the Quran in Islam requires them to do so. And then 69% said to show my religious osity and modesty. And then 64% said to show others my Muslim identity. I thought that this was an interesting fact in statistic wise, but again, I'm not here to judge this. So I'm more just explaining to you guys some information that I feel is important. And then, so thinking about this and wearing this hijab, I wanted to look more specifically at the inequalities that it faces for women. And in the article, the authors talk about how studies have shown that the hijab is a form of sexual objectification and a way to control women's sexuality. Mordati and Tolomat speak about how the hijab also protects against sexual harassment, to be more of a human and less of a sexual object. And that just goes to show the difference in how Islam sees women versus men, because men do not wear a full body covering. And right in the own religion,
there is a sense of inequality.
As someone who previously, before this class, didn't really know anything about the religion of Islam, seeing this visual woman covering her body where a man doesn't have to as much makes me think of an inequality, and before really even knowing anything deeper meaning about why the hijab is actually worn, but it perceives to people who aren't familiar that there is an inequality. I then continued to see this inequality faced by particular African American Muslim women in the Nation of Islam. And in particular, I continued to see this inequality that women faced, particularly African American Muslim women, within the Nation of Islam, which is one of the most popular group of African American Islamic people. And it is a racial and religious group. You have to be African American, and it's also a nationalist group. And it focuses on African American and social political policy regarding African Americans. The article African American Muslim Women, an Invisible Group by Karen Fraser Wyche, W-Y-C-H-E, probably pronounced that wrong, sorry, but she talked about the Nation of Islam and how the group that was led by Elijah Muhammad that began in the 1960s around the civil rights movement, it fought for self-rule, self-destiny, and self-control of social, economic, and political institutions. And it fought for equal rights. But they emphasized women's role in family more than anything else. Because of this, women's voices lacked in the political arena during the 60s and also during the civil rights movement. And so within African American Muslims fighting for their rights, it tended to be more male focused, and women's role was shown more in the family and not whatever they wanted. It was chosen for them. Going back to the idea of family, we saw that I previously mentioned in Ptolemette and Moradi's article that women are wearing the hijab to receive social reinforcement from friends and family. And so women are looking for this acceptance from the people around them and people they are closest with, and getting that respect from them. Having your family's respect is something that not just people of Islam are looking for. I think that it's safe to say that almost no matter what race or religion you are, you want your family to respect you. And for me, I found that, you know, I want my parents' respect, and I'm Catholic, and I'm sure my parents have had a large role on why I'm Catholic. They're Catholic, so I wanted to believe in the things that they believe in. So we see that women wearing the hijab is a reflection of social reinforcement from friends and family. Speaking on influences and how family plays such a big role in someone, also society also plays a major role in how people think and inequalities they face. It's all based on society. And I found the CNN article that speaks about how Pretty Little Things, which is a clothing line that is based out of Europe and the United States, which is very popular for late teen, early 20s, females mostly. And they had their first model who was African American and wear a hijab. And I'm not here to draw conclusions of like what is going to help eliminate this equality, but I think that this is a great step in the right direction and something that I thought would be worth sharing. African American Muslim women are not the stereotypical female to be on the cover of websites modeling clothing. So that just shows an inequality in itself, but Pretty Little Things is trying to break this inequality. Obviously, this inequality is not going to just change in one model, but it's a good start, and I think we need more people to jump on board what Pretty Little Things did. And partially why I've made this podcast is to bring awareness to how these women are treated that is unfair. The reason why I'm sharing all these stories and personal experiences is to show that it happens in life. Like, it's real. It's not just a historic inequality that was in the past. It's happening today. I think a lot of times when people think of religious experience is that it happens only in churches or mosques or wherever the religious location is, but African American religion is shown throughout everyday life. For here, it's Muslims and they're in women's appearance. They wear the hijab to represent their religion and themselves, and there's a reason behind it. The main part of my podcast is to show how this inequality is throughout historical, political, theological, and aesthetic, all for this African American Muslim women are treated differently in every single part of life. And it starts with their appearance. It's the first initial discrimination that they face. This podcast is also expanding on the theme of how there is discrimination within a race. And I mentioned how within the Nation of Islam, women didn't get much say during the civil rights movement, and they were thought of to just be part of a family and their role inside the family. And so this particular theme of inequality is shown in the 60s then. If my podcast was included in the syllabus for this course, I think that this would be a good way for students to be able to connect to something and hear it from someone their age and using experiences that are relevant to them would be helpful and provide students with a deeper connection to this inequality to African American Muslim women. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Again, my name is Sarah Harding. Bye.